Okay, I'm getting into practice with the general prologue of the Canterbury Tales in the original Middle English. And I won't lie to you, it looks like gibberish from here, but I'm told that the best approach is to read it out loud. And so that's what I thought I would share with you. So let's see what happens. One that April with his showers suit. I'm looking at the notes already. It says it's sweet showers suit. I think it's sweet. The drought of March hath pierced to the root and bathed every vein in switch liqueur of which virtue engendered is the flower. It does make a bit more sense, doesn't it? One zephyrus eke with his sweet breath inspired hath in every holt and heath the tender crops and the younger son hath in the ram his half cause run. That's the word run with a Y in the front of it, is it? Yeah, apparently. Okay. Glad to know that. And small fowler's machen melody that sleppen all the night with open eye, so pricketh hem nature in here courages. I'm looking at the notes. It says hearts or spirits. Than longem folk to gone on pilgrimages. I know that word. And palmers for to sick and strange stroons. Oh, that's people trying to... Palmers, I don't know what palmers is. To seek strange countries. To fern halves. Oh, I don't know. Distant shrines. To fern halves, to distant shrines. Couth in sundry lons. Renowned in sundry lands. And specially from every shire's end of Ingolon to Canterbury. Or Counterbury, they wend. The holy blissful martyr for to seek. Actually, a West Country accent's really working for this. Perhaps the whole South Coast Path thing is actually showing me how to talk Chaucerian. I don't know. I'm on a roll. That them hath holpen one they were to seek. Well, I think I might have understood some of that. I think the West Country accent might help. I'm really bad at accents. I can't believe I just did an accent on my podcast. Okay, well, I got that a bit. Onwards. I'm at the bit about the knight in the prologue now, so I feel like I should read this particularly carefully. I'm in the middle. I'm picking up pace. I'm picking up pace. I am. Nay, never yet no villainer he said in all his life unto no manner wight. He was a very perfect gentle knight. But for to tellen yow of his array, his horse were good, but he was nat gay. I don't think that means what I think it means. There's nothing in the notes. Perhaps there's a stony silence from the academy on this, I don't know. Of fustian he wered a gipoon, all bismothered with his habergoon. What the hell does that mean? All stained on his mail coat, that's what that means. For he was latey come from his viage and wenter to Doon for his pilgrimage. It rhymes. I get pleased every time it rhymes. That means I must be saying it slightly right. And with him there was his young son, a young squire, a lover and a lusty bachelor, with lockers cruel as they were laid in pressed. So his hair was curly, as if they'd been put in a curling press. Of 20 year of age was he, I guess. Oh, I'm beginning to like this. I'm beginning to realise that Chaucer's a character in this, which I hadn't expected, but I've just come across the Franklin, who I think I'm going to like, although I'm not sure what a Franklin is, and I'll look that up in a minute. But I've kind of sworn to myself that if I start looking things up, I'll just end up in a internet rabbit hole, so I'm not looking up right now, but I will do. A Franklin was in his company, Wit was his beard, as is the daisy. Sorry, his beard was as white as a daisy. Of his complexion, he was sanguine. Well loved by he was the mora sopper win, which apparently is to have a bread dipped in wine for your breakfast. To liven the delete was e'er his won, for he was Epicurus Owen's son. So he was an Epicurean kind of a character. His I'm skipping a bit here. His breed, his ale, was always after own, and better envied man was nowhere none. So that means he was by custom an Epicurean, and he took unalloyed pleasure in it. And he was always very well stocked with wine, and his ale was of high standard. So I think I'm going to like this guy. I've got to the wife of Barth in the prologue now. And I mean, I've heard of her, that's all I know. But I kind of love the description of her. Gap tooth was she, soothly for to say. So she was wide, had big gaps between her teeth. And upon an ambler easily she sat, that's a horse. It wimpled well with her on her head a hat. So she had her wimple and a hat on her head. As broad as a buckler or a targ, as big as a shield. A footmantle above her, hip as large, and on her feet a pair of spurs sharp. So she was wearing spurs on her feet. In fellowship, well, could she laugh and carp. That's, she could gossip and laugh. Of remedies of love she knew perchance, for she could do of that art the older dance. Isn't it just kind of wonderful? I'm kind of completely enchanted by this, just by this language that hops along. In a kind of horse's gallop or walk, there's something really rhythmic about it. And also the affectionateness by which he's describing these really flawed people. And I suppose this isn't what I expected from a group of pilgrims. I suppose I thought pilgrims were going to be, I don't know, I guess kind of po-faced serious people. And they're not in this book. And maybe that's a lesson for me already. Maybe I am worrying about the pilgrims I'll find myself walking with. I'm worried that I'm there for the experience of the walk and that they're going to have these other aims. And perhaps I can learn something from the Canterbury Tales. Perhaps pilgrims are just people who are on a journey. Ah, well, there you go. There's my question addressed, because the host, I think some of this might sound a bit Glaswegian, has begun to speak. And is telling us that we need some comfort before we go. Well, I don't really understand all of it, but ye gun to Canterbury, God yow speed, the blissful martyr quite yow your mead. No idea what that says. And well I woot, as ye gun by the way, ye sharpen yow to talon and to play. You're getting ready to talk and to play. For truly comfort, nay mirth, is noon to ride by the way, dumb as the stoon. I think that means you need mirth, you need happiness. I think, I don't really understand it, but hey, that's fine. I'm only broadcasting it to the world. And therefore will I make an yow disport, as I say to erst, and doon yow some comfort. There. So pilgrims are allowed to be happy and to have fun, which is actually a rather lovely lesson to take from the prologue. Knight's Tale next.